Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long?
Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. If this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. As promised last week, this week we are going to take a closer look at the second through fourth years of King Darius and how the prophecies given to Zechariah in chapters 7 through 14 of the book of Zechariah may relate to our time today as we move toward the third and fourth years of Donald Trump's presidency. If you have not had a chance to listen to our related programs over the past few weeks, please do so by downloading them for free at our website, www.hiswordheals.com. In my opinion, anyway, I think we have made a pretty good case for the possibility that there is some sort of parallel playing out between the reign of King Darius over Babylon starting in 522 BC at the end of the Babylonian captivity of the Jews and the presidency of Donald Trump. Most noteworthy is the possible parallel between the 19 years from King Cyrus' decree that the Jews were to return to the land and rebuild the temple, and the second year of King Darius when he strengthened that decree and restarted the stalled construction of the temple, and the 19 years between the official funding and recognition date of May 1999 of the Jerusalem Embassy Act and Donald Trump's presidency when he strengthened and reinvigorated that act by actually moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem exactly 19 years later in May of 2018, the second year of his presidency. Last week we also looked at the recent altar dedication in Israel on the last day of Hanukkah and how it and the call for the seven Noahide laws to be enforced by a worldwide Noahide law-based institution to replace the UN might be an indication of a darker fulfillment of the historic and prophetic events found in the books of Ezra, Haggai, and Zechariah, ultimately leading up to the anti-Messiah's reign before the second coming of Yeshua, our Messiah and King, who will rule righteously from Jerusalem for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. That background leads us up to our program for today, where I am going to list some interesting events contained in chapters 7 through 14 of Zechariah. From what I can tell, the prophecy given to Zechariah during the fourth year of King Darius in Zechariah 7 through 14 has a repeating theme which starts out with a bit of history, then the prophecy continually goes back and forth between Yeshua's first and second comings, with some events to expect between the two of them, and especially leading up to the second coming. Then again, there is a prophecy of his first coming, and again, events leading to his second coming over and over about 8 times, until finally chapter 14 is all about his second coming and into his millennial reign. Before we read these passages, let's look at what characterized Yeshua's first coming and keep an eye out for these attributes that will mark the passages in Zechariah that are speaking of his first coming. John chapter 13 verses 34 and 35 pretty much sums up most of what he, Yeshua, came at his first coming to teach. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." How did Yeshua show his love? What examples did he give us to follow? In other words, let's not only look at what he said, but also what he taught us by example. He showed mercy and compassion to the poor, needy, and sick in the form of feeding and healing them. He showed true justice when he pointed out the injustice that the Pharisees were trying to commit when they wanted to stone the adulterous wife without two witnesses present and without the adulterous man, who also, according to the Torah, was supposed to be stoned for committing adultery with her. He exalted the poor widow, who only had a penny to give to the temple. He taught that the poor should be treated just the same as the rich in our synagogues and congregations, and not to give less honor just because they were poor. He taught that we should love our neighbors and brothers and help them whenever they needed it, regardless of whether or not we liked them, or they liked us, or were even our enemies. He taught us to treat brothers with love and respect and not to hold evil in our hearts against them, but that we were to restore our relationship with our brothers before we even bothered bringing an offering to our Father in heaven. He taught that we could not claim to love our Heavenly Father whom we have not seen if we can't love our brothers and neighbors whom we have seen. He taught us it was better not to make an oath than to make an oath and break it. Hence he taught against making false oaths. He spoke peace to the nations through his disciples who he sent to all the nations. And through them he taught that we should seek peace or live peaceably with our neighbors if it was at all possible or in our power for us to do so. Yeshua also said he came to set the captives free and to gather his lost sheep. So please keep those things in mind as we go through some of the verses in chapters 7 through 14 of Zechariah. The first part of chapter 7 basically goes over some history, I think, that leads up to Yeshua's first coming. So maybe some history that they were to expect after the rebuilding of the temple, but before Yeshua's first coming. Then in verse 8 of chapter 7, we'll start reading. Then the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus says Yahweh of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brothers. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother." But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts, or Yahweh of hosts, had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from Yahweh of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed and they would not hear, so they called out and I would not listen, says Yahweh of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. To me, this is speaking about Yeshua's first coming. First, we start out in verses 9 and 10, where Yahweh basically gives the message that Yeshua came to preach. Then, in verses 11 and 12, we're told that they refused to hear and they hardened their hearts like flint. Would this not be the Jews as an institution? So then what happened after that? Finally, the second temple was destroyed and they were scattered among many nations which they had not known. And the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned. So, I believe this is a prophecy. Of course, it's a repeating theme. They were scattered before the exile in Babylon, and they were taken to Babylon. But now, this prophecy is given when they've been regathered, or at least the southern kingdom was regathered back to Israel, or the beginnings of the regathering, to rebuild the temple. So why is this in here? Evidently, there was going to be another scattering, and that did happen in 70 AD after Yeshua came. So I believe that's what these scriptures are talking about. That leads us to chapter 8, verse 1. Again, the word of Yahweh of hosts came, saying, "Thus says Yahweh of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor I am zealous for her. Thus says Yahweh, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of Yahweh of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus said Yahweh of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says Yahweh of hosts? Behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim in truth and righteousness." So you see, at the end of chapter 7, we had a prophecy about Yeshua's first coming, and then the subsequent scattering after that coming. And then in the beginning of chapter 8, we can see that these verses are speaking of the regathering at the end of days, when Jerusalem will again be inhabited. Then in verses 9 and 10, it gives a little more history about the rebuilding of the temple. Verse 11, he starts talking that he will not treat the remnant of this people as in former days, says Yahweh of hosts, for the seed shall be prosperous. And he talks about how he's going to prosper the nation of Israel and the land of Israel, and how he is going to be a blessing on them, and they are going to be a blessing on the nations. And he goes on a little bit about that, and then we get down to verse 16, and that is our second prophecy of Yeshua's first coming. We're starting over again at the first coming. Verse 16 says, "These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says Yahweh." That was the message that Yeshua came to preach again. Then verses 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 start talking about how the fasts will be turned into feasts, days of joy and gladness. That, of course, hasn't happened yet. So we're leading up to the time of the second coming is what we're talking about now. 21 says, "The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, 'Let us continue to go and pray before Yahweh and seek the Yahweh of hosts. I myself will also go.' Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek Yahweh of hosts in Jerusalem and pray before Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, 'In those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve,'" actually that here would be the hem of a Jew, a Jewish man, "or likely his tzitzit, 'Let us go with you, for we have heard that Elohim is with you.'" So all of this is after Yeshua's first coming, again leading up to his second coming. Then in chapter 9, "The burden of the word of Yahweh against the land of Hadrach and Damascus, its resting place. For the eyes of men and all the tribes of Israel are on Yahweh, also against Hamath, which borders it on it, and against Tyre and Sidon, though they are very wise. For Tyre built herself a tower, heaped up silver like dust and gold like the mire of the streets. Behold, Yahweh will cast her out. He will destroy her power in the sea, and she will be devoured by fire." So I believe, again, these are some things that are going to happen leading up to Yeshua's second coming. Then we get down to chapter 9, verse 9. And again, we start the series over again with Yeshua's first coming when we read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. O shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So we know, of course, that that was speaking of Yeshua's first coming when he did his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. The very next verse, this time, it goes right into the time of the second coming. Verse 10, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." So, of course, Yeshua's dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And yes, his message is spreading across the world, but I believe this is more of a physical reign that is talked about elsewhere in Scripture as Yeshua's millennial kingdom, where he does rule and reign from Jerusalem the entire earth. So again, verse 9 was his first coming, verse 10 was his second coming. Now we get down to verse 11, and it goes back to Yeshua's first coming. "As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore you double to you." What did Yeshua say that he came to do? He came to gather the lost sheep, but he also came to set the captives free. And this says, "I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." Prisoners, captives, the same thing. Then in verse 13, we go back to Yeshua's second coming or the events leading up to that. "For I have bent Judah, my bow, fitted the bow with Ephraim, and raised up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and made you like the sword of a mighty man. Then Yahweh will be seen over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. Yahweh Elohim will blow the trumpet." And I find this verse very interesting. I believe that this verse actually, along with other verses that are similar in Jeremiah 50 and 51, are prophecies of the same event that Matthew talks about in Matthew 24:27, and also Luke speaks about in Luke 17 through 24. Matthew 27, verse 24, "For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together, or actually, there will the vultures be gathered together. Doesn't sound like a rapture to me, but this is the popular rapture verses that the pre-trib rapturists use. However, these verses, especially 27, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, sounds a lot like Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14. Then Yahweh will be seen over them. Is that in the clouds? And his arrow will go forth like lightning. Yahweh will blow the trumpet. That is definitely speaking of his second coming. So let's read further what happens when this lightning goes forth and the trumpet is blown. And go with the whirlwinds from south. Yahweh of hosts will defend them. They shall devour and subdue with sling stones. They shall drink and roar as if with wine. They shall be filled with blood like basins, like the corners of the altar. Yahweh their Elohim will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be like the jewels of a crown, lifted like a banner over his land. For how great is their goodness, and how great is their beauty! Grain shall make the young men thrive, and new wine the young women. So this is definitely talking about judgment in the end times, but also the regathering of his flock and the lifting up of their banner, that they are going to be victorious in the end. And I say they, I actually mean we, all of us that belong to Yeshua, that have been grafted in and reborn into the kingdom, into the people of our Elohim. This verse here, his arrow going forth like lightning, is speaking of his victory at or just before his second coming. Now we're down to chapter 10, which starts again Yeshua's first coming. So far, we have seen the pattern of Yeshua's first and second comings four times. This is the fifth time this pattern is repeating. Chapter 10, verse 1. Ask Yahweh for rain in the time of the latter rain. Yahweh will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain. Grass in the field for everyone. For the idols speak delusion, the diviners envision lies, and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people wend their way like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. My anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the goatherds. For Yahweh of hosts will visit his flock. Right here it says, Yahweh of hosts will visit his flock. Isn't that what Yeshua came to do? Gather the lost sheep of the house of Israel at his first coming? The house of Judah, and will make them as his royal horse in the battle. From him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler together. Now this is where we transition, going forth toward his second coming. They shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets, in the battle. They shall fight because Yahweh is with them, and the riders on horses shall be put to shame. I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back because I have mercy on them. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am Yahweh their Elohim, and I will hear them. Those of Ephraim shall be like mighty men, and their hearts shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in Yahweh. I will whistle for them and gather them, and I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. So again, his regathering at the end of days. Now in verse 9, we're going to go back into Yeshua's first coming. I will sow them among the peoples, and they shall remember me in far countries. So that is speaking of what he would do at his first coming. He came, he taught, and then he sowed all of his followers among the peoples. And now we are remembering him in far countries. So now we're getting ready to lead back up to, after that brief verse about his first coming, sowing us among the people, now we're going in toward his second coming again. They shall live together with their children, and they shall return. I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt, and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, until no more room is found for them. He shall pass through the sea with affliction, and strike the waves of the sea. All the depths of the river shall dry up. Then the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart. I will strengthen them in Yahweh, and they shall walk up and down in His name, says Yahweh. Then as we go into chapter 11, there are prophecies about the cypress and the cedar falling, the forest coming down. Verse 4 says, Thus says Yahweh my Elohim, feed the flock for slaughter, whose owners slaughter them and feel no guilt. Those who sell them say, Blessed be Yahweh, for I am rich, and their shepherds do not pity them. I think this again is talking about the time between His first and second comings. Verse 7 says, So I fed the flock for slaughter, in particular the poor of the flock. I took for myself two staffs, the one I called Beauty, and the other I called Bonds, and I fed the flock. I dismissed the three shepherds in 1 month. My soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. What three shepherds are we talking about here, I was wondering? And I just have a theory on that. Is this possibly the three monotheist religions of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam? He says he dismissed the three shepherds in 1 month because his soul loathed them and their soul also abhorred me. Is it because Yahweh does not like religion? And elsewhere in here he talks about the shepherds leading the flock astray. So is he speaking of the main shepherds of these three monotheistic religions? Perhaps. Verse 9 goes on to say, Then I said, I will not feed you. Let what is dying die, and what is perishing perish. Let those that are left eat each other's flesh. And I took my staff Beauty and cut it in two, that I might break the covenant which I had made with all the peoples. So it was broken on that day. Thus the poor of the flock who were watching me knew that it was the word of Yahweh. Now in verse 12 we go back to Yeshua's first coming. Then I said to them, If it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And Yahweh said to me, Throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of Yahweh for the potter. Then I cut in two my other staff, bonds that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Did that not happen after Yeshua's first coming? It happened before, of course, when the two kingdoms split. But didn't it happen again when Christianity completely split off from Judaism? Originally, Christianity, or the Way, was a sect of Judaism that believed that Yeshua was the Jewish Messiah. However, after a while, the two completely broke bond to one another, to where the Jews would not recognize those that believed in Yeshua as Jewish at all, and the Christians did not want anything to do with Judaizers or Judaism. And Yahweh said to me, Next take yourself the implements of a foolish shepherd, for I indeed will raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are cut off, nor seek the young, nor heal those that are broken, nor feed those that still stand, but he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear their hooves in pieces. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. Now in chapter 12, we start again to the second coming. The burden of the word of Yahweh against Israel. Thus says Yahweh, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundations of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces. Though all nations of the earth are gathered against it, in that day, says Yahweh, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah, and I will strike every horse of the prophets with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their hearts, The inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength, and the Lord of hosts their Elohim. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan on a woodpile, and like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left. but Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. Zechariah 14, if you get a chance, read that along with the book of Revelation and the prophecies found in Matthew, and I think there are tons of parallels that you're going to recognize. It's almost as if Revelation was written from Zechariah, expanding on the book of Zechariah chapter 14. This prophecy definitely has not happened yet and is speaking of the time just before and the time of Yeshua's second coming. That's all the time we have for today. I certainly appreciate you joining me. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.
Oh Yahweh, how great are your works!